chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message coming from Brody Thalman.
Good morning. Can you all hear me? Good, you did your job, Jared. Good job. So once again, good morning. This has been an interesting week and an interesting time. For those who don't know, I was able to do my different high school graduation yesterday, and while it wasn't what I'd hoped for years, it was so nice to be able to do it. But that's just, you know, a crazy thing in a crazy time, right? So one thing that I've heard a lot throughout my years in church, and one thing I've heard a lot, especially now, and this has come from churches, from friends, and especially from Facebook posts, that this world needs God. And this is a true statement. Our world is filled with terrible things like war, disease, and famine. And while saying this world needs God is true, on its own, it doesn't solve anything. What I mean by this is without action, nothing happens. For example, think of a dark room. So like, imagine it's pitch black, and you walk in, and you see there's a light switch on the wall. And you're saying, this room is dark, we need light. And while that is true, if you don't flip the switch, the room's gonna remain dark. And so this is what I mean by the phrase, this world needs God, does nothing. That's like acknowledging that you're in a dark room, but it's up to us to flip the switch. So how do we flip the switch in this world? How do we get God to come here? After all, that's the equivalent of how we bring the light to this dark world. The good thing is, since the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came into all of us who believe, we can be the light in that dark room, and we can be the ones that do God's will on this earth. But how do we do that? The verse that was just read by Mr. Don gives us a hint. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 reads, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what this is teaching us is that showing people God's love, we can be the candle in the dark room, which is ultimately our job, right? The phrase Christians literally means like Christ or of Christ. And if God is love, then Jesus was able to bring light to the world through his love. That's our job also. Now, this kind of sentiment is something that many of us who have been in church in a while have heard many times. And while it is a good message, to me it often seems a little incomplete. If there are millions on millions of Christians out there, shouldn't this world be closer to God than closer to sin? Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good in the world. But if you look around at the world and everything that's going on, especially right now, it can seem as if good things or life are harder to reach. You know, you look at, again, the poverty, the war, the famine, everything just looks so terrible. You look at what's going on right now and you see every day in the news the daily death tolls. And it just kind of makes you wonder, where is God? And sometimes we can go and look and see the good stories, the good Samaritan, the nurses, the doctors, the first responders, and that's all well and good, but it almost seems like the darkness is always winning. I mean, to quote Casting Crowns, which I know my dad will like because he really liked the band, if we are the body, why aren't his hands reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? This is something that confuses many of us. We act with love, but sometimes it still feels like God is far away. Looking around at the world, and as well as the Bible, we can find the reason why. Now, I know most of you are at home, but I'm still going to ask you all to do this exercise with me. So give me a thumbs up. Okay, and if you're not giving a thumbs up at home, God knows, so be careful. So I'm going to say something, and you're going to tell me the opposite of it. So if I say happy, you say sad. Good. If I say mad, you say glad. Let's think about some other ones, you know. So let's see. If I say patient, you say impatient. Good. So let's do one more. If I say love, you say wrong answer. Most of you would say hate. And that's because that's what our culture teaches us is the opposite of love. But biblically, that is not the answer. Let's look at the scripture we just read earlier, specifically 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So according to the Bible, fear, not hate, is the opposite of love. Because you see here, it didn't say perfect love drives out hate. It said perfect love drives out fear. And this is a common concept throughout the Bible, that fear and love are pitted against each other. And it seems kind of odd for us, because we always assume love, hate are the opposites. But again, that's just because of the culture we were raised in. And if you look at the Bible, and if you dive deeper into it, you'll learn why the biblical authors say that fear, not hate, is the opposite of love. One example is in the Garden of Eden you can look to. After Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. So what was the first thing they did when God came around? They hid, not in hate, not in anger, not in jealousy. They hid in fear. The first human response to our first sin was fear. What this shows us is that fear is a natural byproduct and goes hand in hand with sin. Now, there's plenty of other stories. Now, lots of us know the story of Peter walking on water, right? So there's a storm, and Jesus and his disciples are in the middle of a boat in the middle of a really big lake. And Jesus, being Jesus, says, let's go, and I'm going to walk on water just because I can. Now, that's very paraphrased. But he walks on water, and he looks to Peter and says, follow me. Now, most of us know that you cannot walk on water. And Peter was afraid, but he decided to trust in Jesus. And so he started walking on water to walk to God. But just before he could reach it, he looked down and realized that he could drown. He took his focus off of God and began focusing on his fear. And what happened? He started to drown. You see, it wasn't hate, jealousy, or anger that distracted Peter from Jesus. It was fear. And so God had to save him from that fear, because that fear would have gotten him killed. It wasn't his trust in God that endangered him. It was his fear. And again, there are many, many more examples in the Bible. Fear is what hardened King Saul's heart and caused him to attack David and work against God's wishes. Fear caused King David to orchestrate the killing of the husband of the woman he was committing adultery with. Fear caused Jonah to try and escape his mission from God. What the Bible teaches us is that fear is what holds us back from God. And this shouldn't surprise us. The Bible teaches us that God is love, and if love and fear are opposites, they cannot coexist. Now, before we continue, I think it's important to define what we mean when we say love and fear. After all, these are both very broad terms. When we mean love, it refers to all kinds of love, but specifically an ancient concept called agape love. Now, agape love was one of the most powerful forms of love in the Greek language. It wasn't just romantic or a mother to her child or just friends. It was a general love for all life. It was the most powerful kind of love, and it was a love used to describe God's love for us. And it's also the kind of love we are supposed to show others as Christians. Now, fear is harder to define. Now, when the Bible says fear, it doesn't mean that feeling you get when a bear is charging you. That base fight or flight fear is what keeps us alive. This is talking about a spiritual fear. And because this fear is opposite of love, I believe the best way to define it is to look at what love is, and fear is the opposite of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 are a popular set of verses that get read up for things like weddings. For those who don't know, these are the love is verses, or the love ours. But as we read it today, I ask that you truly pay attention to the words, because many people would have heard it, but we tend to skip over it as just a nice little romantic thing. It's meant to be a lot deeper than that. So verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the definition of agape love that we were talking about earlier. This is the love that God showed for us and that was made perfect through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So this is the love we're talking about. So let's look at what fear is based off this. Fear is impatient and fear is not kind. Fear envies, boasts, and is proud. Fear dishonors others, is self-seeking, is easily angered, and keeps records of wrong. Fear delights in evil, but does not rejoice with the truth. Fear never protects, never trusts, never hopes, and never perseveres. So this is what fear is. This spiritual opposite to God. It's not the thing that you do to try to keep yourself alive. It's a thing that tries to hold you back from God because there might be some risks there. Fear is what you say when you're not sure if you want to pray in public because you're afraid of what people might think. That's the fear we're talking about, and that's the fear that holds us back from God. Now, as I was preparing for the message this week, I realized there was another comparison that is often used in the Bible, specifically the New Testament, that is very relevant to this fear versus love concept. In the New Testament, there are a lot of mentions of the battle between flesh and spirit. It is done a lot by Jesus and then a lot by his disciples in the later books. So in this, they talk about this eternal conflict between what they call the flesh and what they call the spirit. So the flesh represents who you were before God, and it represents your physical being. And your spirit represents who you are after meeting God and after following Jesus, and represents your more spiritual, metaphysical form. And the whole idea is that your spirit is your godly side and your flesh is your sinful side, and that they're constantly at war with each other, and that you have to decide who gets the power, your spirit or your flesh, and that all sin is found in your flesh and all goodness is found in your spirit. So that's this base conflict that's often portrayed throughout the Bible. And as I was looking at this, I began to wonder, if the battle between flesh and spirit was related to the battle between love and fear. What if the way our flesh or our former selves hold us back from truly experiencing God is through fear? What if, when Paul was talking about taking on a new life in God, He was talking about trading a life of fear for a life of love. What if the reason we need God to overcome our sins is because only love, God's perfect love, can cast away our fears? You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is how well it describes both humanity and the world we live in. One of my favorite examples is the concept of the Big Bang. So we all know at the beginning of Genesis, the phrase, God said, let there be light, and there was light. But for a while, scientists didn't believe that's how the world was formed. They believed the universe was eternal. It always has been here and always will have been here. And then, a few decades ago, scientists came up with this unique idea that out of nowhere, there was this giant explosion that in a millisecond created the universe. I mean, who could have predicted that, right? But that's what the Bible did. And there are many other examples, because the biblical authors not only understood nature, but understood human behavior that was light years ahead of their time. And that brings us to fear. Now, what they talked about was how fear can take control of you, can limit you. And back then, that wasn't viewed. People noticed, but they couldn't explain it, because the whole idea is you're supposed to be able to control your emotions, right? So why is it that fear takes control? So one thing psychologists have learned when studying human behavior is that fear is one of your most powerful emotions, because that helps keep you alive. And for a while, we thought it was the fight or flight response, but a third one was added, freeze. And for a lot of us, when we talk about being paralyzed by fear, that actual literal biological thing of being paralyzed by fear, it isn't just a saying. What they learn is that fear, the fear response in your body is one of the quickest responses the body knows. In 1/10 of a second, you can have a stimulus and your brain will respond with fear. To put in perspective, that's faster than you can see. So, fear is one of our most powerful and quickest responses in our natural body. In other words, our natural or worldly response to trouble or issues is fear. Fear is wired into us as our natural response to things. So what if, when they were talking about the battle between flesh and spirit, they were saying, they knew that fear is what was wired into us in the flesh, and that to become like God, to be able to follow God, you need to cast away that fear through God's perfect love, because only God's perfect love can cast out our fear. Amen. And so when we look at the world around us, it shouldn't surprise us that a world without God is being held hostage by fear. This brings us back to the original question. If we are the body, why aren't God's hands moving? The answer is fear. As long as we let this spiritual fear control this world, we will not be able to see God. The great thing is, there is a cure to get rid of this spiritual fear. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And what more perfect love is there than God offering his Son as a living sacrifice to save us from not only our sin, but our worldly fears? So as we head out into the world, or as a sign in the back of the sanctuary says, the mission field, remember that our God is greater than any fear. The question is, are we going to let God do his job, or are we going to hold him back? Now to close, I would like to do something that we haven't done in a while. For the closing prayer, I'm going to read a paraphrased version of the 1 Corinthians scripture we read earlier. And I would like you all to pray with me and repeat after me each line. That way we can pray united and together as a congregation. So if you could bow your heads. Lord, help us live lives of love instead of fear. For love is patient and kind, while fear is impatient and cruel. Love does not envy and does not boast. And it is not proud. While fear is controlled by jealousy, always seeks attention and trust only in itself. Love does not dishonor others and is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered and keeps no records of wrong. Fear leads us down a path of destruction. Fear is self-centered. Fear bows down to rage and has no forgiveness in its heart. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Fear rejoices in sin and does nothing but lie. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Fear is cowardly, never trusts, never hopes, and never perseveres. God, give me strength to keep my eyes on you. For you are the way, the truth, and the light. Lord, I pray for all those suffering from this virus. Even though I might be scared, give me strength to trust you. Thy will be done. Amen.
Father God, mighty one, thank you for the word that was brought by Brody, O God, about fear and love. God, we know that you are love, so we do not have to fear you. Bless everyone and help us not to fear anything or anyone, and to put our trust in you and you alone. Amen.